Thank you, praise team. Thank you for singing along as well. It's great to hear you sing praises unto the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open into John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is where I'm going to be preaching from today. We've kind of been writing this message for quite some time about what's going on with the woman at the well, and so I'm going to kind of finish that off here this morning. John chapter 4, I'm going to be reading through verses 39 to 42. We'll get there in just a couple of moments. I want to recap where we've been the last couple of weeks. In John chapter 4, there is the title in my Bible says, Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Sometimes she's referred to as the woman at the well. And a couple of weeks ago, Josh Kendrick spoke on a divine appointment and how here Jesus was at the well and he had a divine appointment with this lady, a Samaritan lady. His disciples, Jesus' disciples, had left to go and find some food, and they came back, and here's Jesus talking to a lady who, a Samaritan on top of that, and is like, whoa, you're not supposed to be doing this. And then they said, hey, you need something to eat. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm not hungry. I have food that you don't even know about. And they're like, well, what happened here? Did he run down to McDonald's, Burger King? What happened? Did Aunt Susie come and give him some loaves and fishes? What took place? And he said, it's something different than this. Because of this, this lady left and went to get her friends because of her brief encounter. She wondered if Jesus was the Christ, one of the names given for Jesus. I'm going to talk another name about Jesus here at the end of verse 42 in just a little bit here. As she left, here comes the disciples. He was hungry, no doubt, but he said, my food is somewhere else. He was telling them that he was sustaining him in the work that what he was called to do. He knew that he was sent, and he wanted his disciples to see that there was a harvest field in front of them. Which brings us to where we were last week. Did you see the harvest field that was in front of you last week? Did you lift up your eyes and say, okay, instead of this just being a clerk behind the counter, or instead of this just being a teacher at my school, or instead of this just being a frustrated phone call with this person on the phone because I'm looking for support and I can't receive it, and I'm really frustrated with this person, do we see it as a harvest? Lift up your eyes, is what he said. Lift up your eyes and see what's happening. Now, we find ourselves in this part of the story. Here comes this lady, and she's bringing her friends back to see Jesus. Now, when we read this, there's not a whole lot that we can get from this, but I wondered myself, just thinking, are they going to come in a riot? Or are they going to come with, hey, here's Jesus? Are they going to come with clubs? Are they going to come with open arms? Or are they going to come as some people come with you when you talk to them about Jesus? Kind of like this. I don't know if I'm going to buy into this yet or not. Or did they come with, who is this guy? We need to know who this guy was. It's interesting to see what will happen with these friends and what takes place. The major question that I want you to think about here today is, what is your testimony? The title of the message is The Witness. But I ask each and every one of us, everyone here, what is your testimony? If you want to join me in the scripture today, John chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 39. I'm going to read through verse 42. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, there's one probably in front of you nearby. It's on page 189. Or feel free to follow along on the screen behind me. Here's what it says. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. The first point I want you to see is this. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Rather lengthy, but hopefully you can see it on the screen and write it down as I talk. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. There are sometimes in Scripture that we are given numbers. He stayed with them 2 days. But here we have many Samaritans. I don't know what this number is for many. I'd like to know. What does it mean, many? What does many mean? It means there's a significant number that believed in Jesus. Because of why? The woman's testimony. It's interesting, that word many, but the other word that I want you to see is Samaritans. I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, just so we all get it. Samaritans weren't viewed very highly in that society, comparatively speaking to the Jews. The chosen people were the Jews, and Samaritans, not so much. And so this is a big deal, that it wasn't just one Samaritan, but many Samaritans came and followed because of this woman's testimony. I wonder if there is someone around you, someone around me that's viewed as a Samaritan. You have any Samaritans in your life? Now, I'm assuming you don't know anybody from Samaria, but do you have anybody that's looked down upon around you? Or do you have a prejudice against somebody else? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we look at somebody and they have an orange shirt on. I should have looked around the room before I said orange shirt, because I might get somebody in trouble. The orange shirts are over here. And we think, oh yeah, I know about boys with orange shirts on. I know about young men with orange shirts on. You've read it on the internet about orange shirt guys, right? I'm just making this up. There's nothing with orange shirts, please. That I know about by any means. But we have this prejudice. Here's what happened. Because of the woman's testimony, many Samaritans believed. The person that you have your prejudice against, and trust me, we all have it. Not me, no. We do. That person can know Christ as well. And there could be a lot of orange shirt guys that know Christ. Are you with me? And not just one, but many that would know Christ. Many Samaritans from that town. I wonder if you recall another story from the Bible involving Samaria. There's one in Luke chapter 10 that I'm going to reference, and that was the Good Samaritan. How interesting is that? Here, Jesus is with the woman of the well, and then the Good Samaritan was the one who did good back. These people, the Samaritans, were despised, rejected, but they came to Jesus to find out more about him. Hear what this commentator said. It was not to a theory that she called her neighbors. It was to a dynamic and changing power. Jesus is not a theory. Jesus is a dynamic and changing power. The second point I want you to see is this. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Now, several of you, if you're following in the notes, you're like, that was what you gave on point number one. And it was. So I focused on many Samaritans. Now I want to focus on this part of it. They believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Because of the woman's testimony. What was her testimony? Here's what she said. He told me all that I ever did. Now, he didn't have enough time, Jesus, to tell all that she had done. But Jesus did tell her about some of the dings in her life. I'm going to use a word, dings. I don't know if it's really a word or not, but we'll just say dings, all right? By the way, each of us have dings in our life. Sometimes when you messed up royally. Sometime when you messed up and you weren't real excited about it. Sometime when you had a major mess up. Each of us have those, by the way. I'm not going to ask you to share those today, because some of you would be quite embarrassed about those. Each of us have had them. And they're a part of our testimony. I was sitting at the counter one day with my children. It's been several years ago that this happened. This is not the cup, by the way. But my children were being less than obedient, or I don't know how I want to put it exactly. And my children had been given a cup and a plate from a distant relative of mine. And so they would use those on occasion, and we'd fill them up with juice or whatever. And for whatever reason, my kids were misbehaving that day, or at least I thought so, and I always got a little frustrated. So they had this little memorabilia cup. I don't even remember what it was. It might have been cars or something like that. And so I'm at the counter, it's breakfast time, and I said, "Now stop it!" And I cracked the cup down on the counter. Guess what happened to the cup? It broke. It was not a good yay for me. I'm not sure if my kids even remember that. Do you guys remember any of that? Yeah. Praise God for that. But I felt pretty bad because I had broken a cup that I thought was pretty significant, obviously not, for one of my kids. That's a ding in my life. I got angry and I shouldn't have done that. And that's part of my testimony. You have dings in your life as well. Or maybe you've done something a little bit worse than breaking a cup. Jesus knew these dings in this lady's life. And he was willing to love her and still provide her living water that flowed. You may think that you have that ding in your life hidden. You don't. God knows about that ding, and even that ding in your life, he can do mighty works with. That's who Jesus is. How do I know that? Hebrews 9, verse 14. You might want to write this down if there is something in your life that's been bothering you. You might want to write down this scripture. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I hope you hear me in that. This is the blood of Christ who purifies your conscience. And trust me, I have a conscience, we have a conscience, all God's children have a conscience. And Jesus comes to purify our conscience. What's your testimony? These Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. We have a testimony. The good things, the bad things, we have the testimony. The woman shared her testimony, and so must you and I. Hear what a commentator says in this way. He has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men his way. He has no voice but our voice to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to lead them to his side. Maybe you think your testimony is boring. Oh, I really don't have anything. Or maybe you just haven't seen how your testimony can be inspiring. If you were a lady at the women's event yesterday, you heard a testimony. You heard a testimony, and hopefully you were inspired by that testimony that was shared. We think we have to be so profound and eloquent, and we have to give everything, but Jesus knew some things about this lady's life, and he talked to her about that, and something happened. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. If you go back to verse 5, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, however you want to say it. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I begin to think, how big was Sychar? I'm assuming it wasn't a big metropolis. If you live in a big city that's like millions of people, you can hide, can't you? When you go to the grocery store, you go there, nobody has a clue who you are. But I want you to think about Sychar. Let's say it was 1,000 people. Some of you, how many of you have lived in a town of 1,000 people or less in your life? Okay? when you live in a town of 1,000 people or less, everybody knows your business. Everybody knows what's going on in your life, and there's a rumor that's going to go on about your life. And so I just begin to think about this of the woman's testimony. Everybody knew what was going on in this lady's life. They knew what was happening. They knew how many husbands she had had and who she was living with. Isn't that interesting? It was happening then. It happens today now as well. We know. But yet, because of the woman's testimony, they came to Jesus. Something changed. Something miraculously happened in this lady's life because Jesus said, you need some living water. Through a moment's encounter, these friends saw the change and came to Jesus. This growth of faith is one of the subjects John delights to exhibit. He is fond of showing how a weak and ill-founded faith may grow into a faith that is well-rooted and strong. We get to be the vocal pieces, but it's about Jesus. Maybe this has been your hiccup when it comes to your testimony. I can't share my faith because I don't know what to say. Then I encourage you to do this. Invite him to church, because there's a number of people here that are going to love on people and show them Christ. Romans 10:14. How can they believe without someone preaching to them? So talk to a neighbor, talk to a coworker, talk to a friend. Just be a light. You don't need cancer to talk and make something spectacular in your life. Just share your life and what Jesus has done. This is what the lady said. He's told me everything, and they believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Number three, the Samaritans came to Jesus. In Jerusalem, catch this, Jesus did many miracles. So why do you think people might have come to Jesus in Jerusalem? Because of the miracles. I like miracles. Do you like miracles? So go to Jesus because he has these miracles. In Galilee, he was known and the people there longed for physical blessings and the excitement of miracles. In Samaria, how many miracles did Jesus do? None. And he had no forerunner, John the Baptist, to come and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus merely provided this right here, some water. Actually, he didn't even provide water. He just said, "Hey, I am the living water." That's what Jesus, no miracles, no flashes, no big lights, no big cameras, no big power team ripping phone books up or anything. It was just Jesus saying, "Hey, do you know living water? I can give it to you." And the Samaritans came to Jesus because of the change in this woman's life. Number four, they invited Jesus to stay. The Samaritans invited Jesus to stay. It shows us how Jesus had won their confidence. You've got to think about this outside of this realm. Well, why wouldn't you invite Jesus to stay? But you've got to think of the cultural representations. You got to think of what's happening in this interaction. It's like asking some terrible, cruddy, evil people inviting a righteous saint to live with them. You think, well, try not. I guess you probably shouldn't think of this, but for the illustration, go with me. Think of someone that you think is far away from Christ and a drug addict and then you as a Christian go and live with them. "Hey, why don't you come over to our house? Yeah, that's great. We'll love to have you." No, they wouldn't want you there because you're light in that darkness. Imagine this. Here's the Samaritans, and they say, "Come, live with us." Here's what a commentator says. "Yet through this appearance of weakness and dependence and loneliness, there shown his native kindness and truth and kingliness to such a degree that the Samaritans, although naturally suspicious of him as a Jew, believed in him, and he stayed with them 2 days. Imagine the conversation that happened in 2 days with Jesus. That'd be rich. That'd be wonderful. Imagine if you had 2 days with Jesus. Well, you can have every day with Jesus. But in the presence, imagine that conversation that took place. "Come, stay with us. Come stay with us." And he did. Number five, they believed in Jesus because of why. This is what it says. Verse 41, "And many more believed because of his word." more than just the original amount. More came, many more. I'd like to know the numbers, but we don't have that. But we know that more came. Words matter. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why did they believe in Jesus? Because of His Word. Jesus was the Word. Billy Sunday was a famous baseball player, and he was converted to Christ, and he became a great evangelist. Maybe you've heard of him. He was planning to share at a large American city. And Billy wrote to the mayor for that city and asked the mayor if he knew the names of individuals who had spiritual problems and needed help and prayer. The mayor responded. Do you know what he sent? He sent the city's telephone directory. Everyone needs a savior. Everyone needs a savior. Even these Samaritans. And John is telling us this. He's saying it's not just about the Jews. It's not just about the people at First Wesleyan. It's not just about the Wesleyan Church. It's not even about Rapid City. It's about the whole world. Have you surrendered and understood God's power? Not just a theory. Something happens when we change from a theory to real life action. And this usually happens through a time of struggle, when the rubber meets the road. I begin to ask the question. Here's what it says. Many Samaritans from that town believed, and many more believed because of his word. Why doesn't the church, not just First Wesleyan, but why didn't the church expand more? Why isn't there many people just saying, man, we believe in that. Yes, we'll be a part of that because Jesus is awesome. Jesus is great. Jesus is the Savior of the world. I think it's because we don't live out changed lives more than the culture. But when we do that, people respond to that and are attracted to that. I wonder if Jesus being the Savior of the world changes your perspective, your influence, and passion each day. A commentator says this, the living water which the woman received from Jesus had certainly become an overflowing fountain in her life. A couple weeks ago, pouring into you. And others were coming to share the refreshment that she had begun to enjoy. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. The most unlikely soul may prove the most effective witness. The sixth thing I want you to see is this. The Samaritans believed Jesus was the Savior of the world. For those of you who are in the church, again, that's just a, well, yeah, duh. But this should be a what. This should be a what in your when you read the Bible. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe. Verse 42, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Where do they get this from? These are Samaritans. How are they supposed to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world? I mean, if you look into the Bible, you see that. Luke 2 verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But the Samaritans shouldn't know him as Savior of the world. How was that revealed to them? I think it's revealed to them by God, for we have heard ourselves and we know that He is the Savior of the world. These people responded and understood that they had been with Christ, and they took it upon themselves to believe in Jesus themselves, not just because of the woman, but because they embraced it themselves. Have you found yourself in that situation yet? I think some of us embrace Christianity because of maybe our parents or because of a good friend or because somebody encourages us to. But there has to come a time where we own it ourselves, and these individuals did. It wasn't, oh yeah, we believe because of the woman's testimony. They said, we believe because of his word. Many more believe because of his word. They believe because it started with the woman's testimony, but then they believe for themselves that he was the savior of the world. No man can go through an experience for another man. Others may lead us to the friendship of Christ, but we must claim and enjoy that friendship ourselves. I ask each one of us, whether you be a young child or an older adult, have you embraced Christ and believed in God's word because you want it, because you own it, because it's for you, not because of some woman's testimony? That's where it starts, but that's not where it ends. Maybe here's another way to look at it. If you're a parent in this room, you have an awesome responsibility to lead your child in the way of the Lord. That should be very humbling. That should be very convicting. That should be a challenge. However, you have to allow your children to walk out the Christian walk. Those are some scary times for parents. But you can't do it for them. If they're in your home, you need to lead and provide, but as they grow up, they need to experience and develop in the faith. Some of that will be some bumps and bruises, and those are some tough times for parents. Guide them, but they will have to go through it. Or in other words, here's what you need to do. At the appropriate time, and each parent, you have to figure this out for yourself, you have to let go. Those of you who are older parents in the room, you've understood that maybe a little more, and those are tough times. You want to call on the phone and say, don't do that. That's dumb. That is not wise. That is not godly. That is not righteous. And maybe I'm talking to a parent that's here today that is an adult. You have adult kids. Let go. They have to own it themselves. These Samaritans did that. They believed because of the woman's testimony, but then they said, we believe because he's the savior of the world. Those are tough times. It's delicate. But I encourage you all, if you're a parent at the appropriate time, let go. Let go. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that you haven't taught yet, but you're teaching your child how to sew, okay? What you do is you get them some kind of fabric, you give them some kind of thread, you probably show them how to thread the needle, and you do that with them. But there comes a point in time where you say, here's the material, here's the thread, here's the needle, you do that. Can you imagine trying to stand over your kid and holding their hand as a teenager, trying to help them thread the needle through that little thread and holding onto the fabric? You'd get in the way. You'd be cumbersome. Somebody would get poked. That wouldn't be a fun thing. Ouch, that hurt, Mom. That hurt, Dad. Don't do that. Just let me do it. Have you ever had your kid say that? Just let me do it. Many Samaritans believe because of the woman's testimony. They believed because they owned it. Think about a sport. I'll use basketball. Think about teaching your child how to play basketball, and then you saying, well, you know what? Seeing as how you're trying out for your high school team, I'm going to go play on your team with you. And when you go run down the court, we'll dribble together. I'll put my hand on your hand, and we'll dribble together. And then we'll pass together. And no, that'd be goofy. You have to let go and say, there's the ball. Go. Let go. They believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world because of the woman's testimony. Do many believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world because of my testimony and because of yours? That's a challenging question to ask us. Do people say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world because of your testimony? Many believed And many more believed because of that one moment when Jesus came to the lady at the woman at the well. May others trust in Jesus and his word when he's presented to them. May we accept his grace even when he knows about the dings in our lives. May others know Christ as Savior of the world living in and through us. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men, or why as shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back. They know not how or when. But this I know, that he was born of Mary when Bethlehem's manger was his only home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored, and so the Savior of the world is come. I cannot tell how silently he suffered as with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted and stays our sin and calms our lurking fear and lifts the burden from the heavy laden, for still the Savior of the world is here. I cannot tell how he will win the nations, how he will claim his earthly heritage, how satisfy the needs and aspirations of East and West, of sinner and of sage. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown. And some glad day his sun will shine in splendor when he, the Savior of the world, is known. I cannot tell how all the lands shall worship when at his bidding every storm is stilled, or who can say how great the jubilation when every heart with love and joy is filled. But this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven and heaven to earth will answer, at last the Savior of the world is King. Many people who were not part of the Jewish faith believed because of the woman's testimony. Do many come because of your testimony? As you think this week, as you go about your life, what's your testimony? Do you have some dings? I do. And God uses those dings, and he uses my testimony to impact others, and he uses yours as well. I want to pray for you today. Would you stand with me as we close in this service? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? What is your testimony? Is your testimony one of God's saving grace? Do you know Jesus as the Savior of the world? Is he your Savior? Do you believe in him because of his word? Do you have some dings? Know that your testimony may lead someone else to know him as Savior of the world. Lord Jesus, I pray for each man and each woman. I pray for somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord. I pray that today they would say yes to you and they would follow after you. And then I think of each of our testimonies, Lord. Some of us have dings, some of us grew up in some of those small towns, and everybody knew our business. There were rumors. But when you come into our lives, you purify our conscience and you change our lives. God, I pray that you would help our testimony to be strong so others would believe in you because of our testimony, and then that they would put their faith in you and it would change their lives for the rest of eternity. Give us the inroad into somebody's life this week that we can share about what you're doing. Thank you, God, for your saving grace. As we go from this place today, may our feet walk where you would have them walk. May our words be pleasing, and may our actions be righteous in your sight. Thank you, God, for your love. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.